This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Transgender Point of View is an Australian news and current affair panel talk show.
Airing weekly and hosted by Joy 94.9.
Transgender people come from every region around the world, racial and ethnic backgrounds and faith communities.
Chances are that you've met a transgender person, even if you don't know it.
But there are still many misconceptions about trans people.
And as a transgender person, there are a lot
of questions asked of us every day.
What's this about using they as a pronoun?
Isn't letting a trans person use my bathroom dangerous?
Do I refer to you as he, she, it, or they?
So what's your real name?
Are you a drag queen?
What's the difference between sex and gender, and why does it matter so much?
Did you have the operation?
What is stealth?
How does someone know they are transgender?
Really random questions.
Are you sure you're not just super gay?
You must be a transvestite.
What bathroom do you use?
Will I be able to have sex?
What does cis mean?
This is Transgender Point of View on Joy 94.9. Now, here's Michelle.
Good evening. You are listening to Transgender Point of View. Mama Mish here.
With Anastasia.
Hey, babe, how are you going?
I'm very relieved. I'm going to share this journey with the audience.
I was going to say, you know, look, from as one immigrant to another, I mean, you know, it's not like you can really tell with an interesting accent, that I really, look, I appreciate the journey you've been going through, you know, as technically a refugee.
Yeah.
Would you like to share a little bit of personalness?
Well, you know, I promise I will share with you guys after my break. I'm taking a break.
Yeah.
I will be back in 10 days.
Very nice.
Yeah. So
very nice.
You will hear all about it, I promise.
Now, wait a minute. I came back for the show tonight. I was away myself on a holiday for a break. And I've come back, you know, to do the show. So you're not coming back to do the show. You're just going to go and disappear?
No. I'm just taking 1 week off from everything. I really need some time to sort of absorb everything in and process my feelings.
You deserve it.
And yeah, with my man and everything.
With perhaps, your man?
Perhaps.
So is this a new one or the old one? Or is this the third one?
Which
or
one?
The second one? Your harem.
Which one?
Your harem. Do they know that you were on here and talking about them? And
well, they know. So this particular guy, he knows that, you know, I've been seeing other people, and he encourages me to see other people.
Does he know you talk about it publicly on live
he
video?
He knows. Like, he even went through my dating apps with me.
No, but here's the thing. You know, you need to bring him to Mama so we can have the talk and make sure, you know, that he's not a bad boy. So when are you going to bring him on so we can interview him?
Maybe when he's fully in my hands, you know.
Fully in your hands.
When he's eating from my hands, you know.
Wow, look at you.
Well, you know, lots of boys want to wife me. So.
I see. Look at you all up yourself. I have to say, like, I really appreciate, you know, all that you've been going through. And I couldn't, like, if you couldn't be here to be on the show and stuff, it wouldn't be the same without you. So, I'm relieved as well.
Yeah, well, I honestly, having some hindsight, I wonder how did I pull off everything, because like the legal stuff on one hand and running the show by myself on the other.
Juggling the men in your life as well.
And, you know, my other aspects in my life. So yep, here you go. There's some pimples right here.
Oh, yes. You're one pimple.
I never had pimples before. And now I have.
And you're one gray hair.
And they're hormonal breakouts, you know? So that's bad.
Honey, when do you get to be my age?
So you mean like perfect skin?
My age? Well, I don't have perfect skin. I've got horrible skin. I think the world of you, you know. I love you. I pick on you, but only with love. So what else is going on? What else is new in the world? What are you doing this long weekend? Is this part of your 10 days off? Or are you doing anything this weekend special?
No. I have journalists wanting to interview me. So
who?
Somebody from SBS and somebody from ABC. They want to pick up my story. So that's interesting. I'm breaking the mainstream now.
You're breaking the mainstream.
Yes, and that's it. And planning for my vacation or staycation, perhaps.
Nice.
I don't know.
Where are you going to go? Anything special?
I really want to go to the countryside. A bit more civilized than where I was last time.
Yeah.
And just enjoy some quiet time and just, you know, again, cry my heart out or, you know, just sleep, really. I really need sleep.
You do. Look, and that's what I did. I went away myself to Lauren and disappeared and just had some time away and sat at a friend's place on the balcony and overlooked like the bay and took the kids for a walk. I had a nana nap.
A nana nap?
I had a nana nap.
I would have two.
Look, and I'm one of those people, I don't want to waste every minute, any minute that I have in a day. And so I went and just went for walks on the beach and we went to walks in the forest and, you know, listen to the rain come down while we're walking along.
In the woods. Okay.
In the woods with the kids. And we're just checking out the waterfalls. And then I came back, started doing some drawings. And I just kind of passed out. It was nice.
Yeah. So, see, that's the thing I am looking forward to next week.
But I don't have a man. I don't have a woman in my life. I have a man. So, you know,
I may or may not have him next week with me. I don't know.
There'll be a different man.
Yeah, perhaps. Come on. Look at this.
You know? Love this, love it.
Yeah.
You're hilarious.
Well, tonight's show, we have a few positive things coming up. So first of all, we have Violette. She used to be on here as a guest. And secondly, we will be talking about the Leisure Centre in Reservoir opening a night for transgender diverse community.
Yep. Nice. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing that. You are listening to Transgender Point of View. We'll be back shortly.
Is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
And welcome back to Trans POV on Joy 94.9. This is Anastasia Lee, your host for the night. Well, Mama Mish is away on her break. So in the room today, I wonder if you all remember Violette.
Hello. Is that too far away? Here I am. Hello. Hello, everyone.
So due to technical issues, we're sharing the same microphone.
Getting very intimate. Hello.
Yeah, like mouth-to-mouth kind of thing already. So, Violette, last time when you were in the studio with me, you were looking for work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you expressed how much you would like to contribute to the community yourself.
Yes, yes.
And have you got any news so far?
I do. So I'm currently working at a place called Matchworks. It's an employment agency, and I am in the disability division. But the reason why I took this job is because they were looking for someone with lived experience within the diverse community, and myself having worked with Matchworks before as a client, they thought it was great for me to go in and to help everyone else within our community. And so it's been really, really good. And actually, Mama Mish was the one who put me up for this job.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh,
yes. Wow. She was the one who vouched for me, and then that's why I was selected for the interview.
Oh,
yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say, I enjoy your new look tonight.
Thank you.
New hair colour, neon pink.
Well, I mean, it's still pink. It's still kind of the same.
It looks fresh to me, though.
Oh, yeah, because, like, I've been maintaining it, putting a bit more red into it just to so it can stay a bit more pink when it fades. So, yeah.
And the thing is, like, you look very vampy today, though. I think it's the lipstick colour.
I think it's a lipstick because it's a dark purple. I think that's why I'm looking a bit, you know, dark.
And your eyes. Well, the thing is that you use purple on your eyelids today. Mm-hmm. And, so it seems darker than usual.
Yeah, yeah. I just thought I'd do something a bit different. And I think it looks pretty good.
Oh, wow. Well, so that's enough. And then, so how are you feeling? And how long have you been doing this now?
It's about a month since I started. So still pretty fresh into this job. And it's great. Like, it was definitely challenging within the first few weeks. Just trying to learn all of the systems and all of that. But it's been really, really good because one of the things that I found really, really great and, like, heartwarming was that the fact that I used to be part of this trans women focus group that Matchworks was holding because they were trying to help trans women specifically to find work. And now that I'm part of Matchworks, I spoke to some people and I actively wanted to be able to contribute back into that group. And so I'm working with that group actively now as one of the facilitators rather than being a client. And I've also joined the Rainbow Committee that's part that they're just made in Matchworks. So really trying to help give back to those who have helped me along the way.
And have you noticed any changes in your mental health since you got out of freshly out of unemployment?
Actually, yeah. Like it was a very nice change, you know, like going from not having anything going for me at the time, and the money was really hard, and just trying to, you know, figure out what to do in day-to-day life. But now that I have like a set schedule and I'm seeing all of these people that I can help, it's really like lifted up my spirits, you could say. Yeah. I'm in a really good place at the moment, really happy, and I'm very content with the fact that I can help people now.
So, and I know you're fairly fresh in this position, but I assume you might have had a few clients already. What would be the main issues with the trans unemployment rate?
I have been seeing some clients, like ever since I started. Now, a lot of the issues that I find, not necessarily from clients that I have helped, but just clients in general, is that there's a lot of reluctance to get into the workforce, especially when people are early into their transition or they haven't done their social or medical transition yet, because there's this big fear of discrimination. And there's also this stigma that trans people have, that no one's going to hire me because I am trans. And it really hampers them finding work, because they kind of self-sabotage in the sense that they are reluctant to apply because they don't think anyone's going to take them in.
Mm. So that's something I actually questioned before. Like, for me, you have recognized your identity. That's one of the biggest hurdle anybody can actually overcome. So for me, I guess, you know, you should also surrender yourself to, you know, or actually surrender defensiveness, if that makes sense, you know, because the world is getting better. I mean, it's still crazy politically, but, you know, there are so many companies now that started to see the values of diversity in terms of cultural identities as well as gender identities as well. So, you know, please see Violet at Matchworks or see our Mama Mish, you know, at Fitted for Work. They've been doing an amazing job. Now, another personal question. What if one day I had my own business, would you work with or for me?
Of course. I mean, why not? I don't see why there would be a major problem anyway. So, of course I would.
Yeah. Well, because, you know, I've been dreaming of, like, building my own kingdom.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just for trans and gender diverse focused kingdom, you know, and yeah. Go beyond that.
I think it would be a beautiful place. An absolutely beautiful place.
I mean, I'm wearing Baywatch kind of looking stuff right now, but, you know, we'll be all demure and classy.
Yeah, of course. It'll come with all the bells and whistles, and everyone will be absolutely fabulous.
And so now you are in the door. I mean, you've walked through the door and you are in a much better place. What do you expect yourself to be doing, or what can you see yourself within the next year or so?
Within the next year or so, I think I'd still want to continue with doing all of this work, because it really has a sense of fulfillment. You know, like, I really want to be able to help people, because now that I've been given the opportunity to do so, I think it's great for someone to be in a position like I am, that is, you know, quite public, and people can come to me and, you know, like seek help, and I can help them and all that. And I just, I think I just want to keep doing this job until, you know, eventually I get sick of it. Or maybe I won't even get sick of it. I don't know. But I think in the foreseeable future, this is something that I would like to continue and help to grow and just, you know, be someone that people can talk to. You know, if they need help, and not, you know, not necessarily just for finding work, but just someone who people can approach and ask, oh, you know, how do I go about this, or like, I need some help with that, and I want to be that person that people can just say, you know, come to me for.
Well, so now you are in a much better place. Or is there any, you know, hobbies or anything you would like to participate in now? With, you know, given how you are more financially stable,
In terms of hobbies, I don't really have anything that I think you know is impacted by my work now. Obviously, like having stable income obviously helps, you know, with purchasing certain things. But I think in terms of what I already do now, I would love to get more into doing community work and like outreach and stuff like that to those who really, really need it. Particularly within, you know, the diverse community, and more specifically, you know, the trans community.
Or you can just come join Trans POV on Joy 94.9.
I mean, obviously that is an option that I can do, but it just depends if it fits in my schedule.
Well, you know what? And the thing is, like, I feel like we share the same vision and imagine a world where, you know, you are like the director of one of the biggest employment agency, and you know, you have trans women of Asian or African background in power. How amazing would that be?
I think that would be absolutely amazing, because it's, you know, it's a very, very small percentile of the general populace. I mean, like, already, like, transgender people within Australia, like, we are already a small minority, and then even more so are those of us who are persons of colour. And that's something that I've, you know, talked about with you, Anastasia, and also with Mama Mish and, like, other people. It's just that there aren't that many people out there who are trans people of colour in positions that are public, because it's just something that within our culture and within our respective cultures that is not talked about. You know, we don't have any people in the public, because more often than not we're vilified or attacked or something like that, because our cultures don't understand. And so, you know, being that someone now in a position, it's just great. And I'd love to see more people, you know, not just transgender people, but like just more persons of color in general in positions of power, that, you know, where we can help the other people.
I really loved what you just said. Well, not to boast, but I think, yeah, like we are fairly active and, yeah, it's amazing. I mean, there's also, well, tokenism, there's always like a perks and cons to it too. So, yeah. Well, thank you so much, Violet, for, you know, coming in on such a short notice. You're listening to Trans POV on Joy 94.9. It's Anastasia Lee. And I look forward to interview you in the future with more endeavours and more achievements.
Yes, and I look forward to coming back and talking about it, because, like, I love coming out here.
Or be part of the gang, really. All right. Well, have a good day, Violet, and I shall speak to you soon.
Yes, and likewise. And everyone else, have a good day.
On the phone with me, I have Suzanne Renee. Is it Renee?
Rennie.
So sorry. Suzanne Rennie from the Derwent Council. She's the mayor, with exciting program coming up for the trans and gender diverse community. Hi, Suzanne. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Yeah, so would you be able to tell me more about the upcoming program the council is hosting?
Sure. So on Saturday the 5th of October and Saturday the 9th of November, we are opening the Reservoir Leisure Centre to host two all-ages trans and gender-diverse community nights. And all the facilities of that centre will be open, and that includes a lap pool and a play pool, a spa, the gym with the equipment, and some classes as well.
Oh, wow, this is excellent news, especially for those who reside in that sort of town. So what really gave you the idea to start this awesome project?
For many years, Council has had a same-sex attracted and gender diverse advisory committee, and some time ago that committee suggested that this was a bit of a gap and something that we could look at. And so we started in February 2018 just with a swim night, yeah. And we've since expanded that to include classes and all the gym facilities as well.
That sounds amazing. So with Darwin Council, do you know the percentage of trans and gender diverse population within your council?
No, we don't. But we know that there's a real need for this type of service, and that people also travelled from outside of Darwin to attend. So we were really happy for this to be something that we could offer for the region. When we first did the trans and gender diverse swim night in February 2018, we were the first leisure centre anywhere to do that, and we're really proud of that. And so people travelled quite a long way to participate.
Okay. And with the facilities at the council, what have you done or at least improved to ensure there's excellent inclusion at the venue?
So on this night, the pool will otherwise be closed to the public. So this is an evening that is specifically for trans and gender diverse community members. Yeah. And that means that everyone can feel safe, and they can, for example, use the change room of their choice. We know that in general facilities that can be quite a concern for people, because they feel as though they may not be safe or welcome in the change room of their choice, for example. And people are very welcome to bring their friends and family or partners, yeah. So that they can come in a very supported environment.
Would there be facilities for kids as well?
Yes, absolutely. So it is somewhere people can come with their kids. It's all ages. Yeah. There'll be great things for kids. For example, in the pool we have a giant inflatable sort of obstacle course that kids can play on and jump over, and I'd have to say it's great for adults as well. But we certainly see this as a family event, and people of all ages are welcome.
Oh, that sounds amazing. And have you got a link that we can share on our social media to the audience?
I think that there's some information about this night on the Reservoir Leisure Centre Facebook page, yeah, and also on the council page. So yeah. Our council page is darabin.vic.gov.au/RLC, which stands for Reservoir Leisure Centre.
So also, is there any other project from the Darwin Council specifically for trans and gender diverse community upcoming in the future? Can you see that happening?
These are the only specific ones that I think we've got planned at the moment, but we are really open to hearing from community members about what they want and what they would find valuable. And certainly it's feedback from community that enabled us to get this happening. We pride ourselves on being a really inclusive municipality, and one that does lots of stuff to make many groups in our community feel welcome and valued, and you know, particularly those groups that might have experienced some discrimination in the past. So if people have ideas about other things they feel council should do, would love to hear them. But specifically in relation to swimming pools and gym use, we were aware that that was an area where people often didn't feel safe and included, and that's why we came up with this program.
All right. Well, I really hope that, you know, this is going to be an ongoing thing, and perhaps, you know, would be a weekly thing even, you know, because fitness is very important in our mental health, and a lot of us struggle with that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And one of the things we're really pleased about, in fact, is that we did this first, but other leisure centres have followed. And so right across Melbourne now, there are other leisure centres offering these sort of programs, which means that there's more chance that people will always be able to find something that can suit them, and that it's become accepted that it's a really worthwhile thing for leisure centres to do.
All right. And from my personal knowledge, Darwin Council has always been one of the most progressive councils in Melbourne. Could you please sort of, you know, give me tell me, like, how we got so progressive, especially in your particular area, in that sort of neighbourhood, really?
Look, I think that this is an area where people generally care a lot about social justice, and inclusion and eliminating discrimination are critical social justice issues. And, you know, I'm really pleased that there was unanimous support from councillors for this kind of initiative. So there were no people who said, you know, maybe we shouldn't do that or I don't agree. And, you know, I think that that also came through in the terrible debate that the country had about marriage equality. And I say terrible because we should never have had that debate. It should have just been a given that everybody had those rights. But this is a community that really stood up and said, no, we stand for equality for everyone. And, you know, council came out on that occasion also fighting for the rights of everyone in the community and did a lot of activities to support people, you know, family fund days for people who had been impacted by the postal survey, celebratory events when we achieved marriage equality. And I think that it's really nice to be part of a council where there's unanimous support for those kind of activities.
Now, we were talking about ideas and feedback from the communities. Is there a way that they can contact the council to provide their thoughts and ideas?
Absolutely. We just love hearing from community members who have ideas about what we can do to improve and do more. People can email council at, and the email address is mailbox@darebin, which is darebin.vic.gov.au, or they can phone us on 84708888 and let us know what they think we should do and whether you have, you know, ideas, because it's clear to me from working with communities and in this community for years that some of the best things we do are generated from ideas that come from community members.
And just a personal question, Susan. How long have you been involved with the community?
I have been a long-time campaigner for equality, starting with the Love Makes a Family campaign in 2008, which was a campaign to achieve access to reproductive technology for same-sex parents and recognition of same-sex parents on birth certificates. And, you know, I've remained involved. I haven't always had as much time to campaign as I would like to have, but I just think that equality is so important and that everyone benefits from being in a community where everyone is valued equally.
And that's actually over a decade of love and commitment. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Being part of a rainbow family myself,
But then, you
I sort of understand that, you know, marginalisation or discrimination takes all kinds of forms and it is never acceptable.
Yeah. Well, but then at the same time, you know, because being part of the community itself, I know, like, there are other hurdles, you know, the personal mental health issues and as well as our work and fighting for our own rights as well. So just, you know, all these contributions of yours is tremendous, you know, just like everybody else who volunteers and fight, you know, relentlessly for the community. I really appreciate that. And we just on the note of, you know, equality and, you know, marginalization, I know recently you had Mama Alto as a keynote speaker.
Yes.
Would you be able to tell more about that?
Sure, that was incredibly exciting. So the year before last, every year Darebin Council has a social justice oration, which is named after a woman called Molly Hadfield, who was a significant social justice campaigner in our community. And when she died, we decided to honour her by having this special annual oration where we invite a prominent woman who has an amazing story to tell to come and talk to people about the work that they do and the social justice dimensions of that. And the year before last, we had Mama Alto come and speak. And she was absolutely amazing. She just captivated the audience. She gave a speech which was both accessible but incredibly intellectual and really challenged, I think, people's thinking, but also educated people around trans issues and how we think about identity. And, you know, I felt it was such a great reflection on where we've come to as a community and the maturity of the community that the woman who was chosen to give this amazing oration was Mama Alto, and that she that was so well received.
Wow. And what really captivated me in your statement just then was that you addressed Mama Alto as powerful woman. And I am forever grateful for that. I really appreciate that as well. Because
it was just so true, you know. It was it was so visible, and I think of all, you know, such a memorable occasion for me to hear her speak too.
Yeah, it's just you know, sometimes I still struggle myself because there are, of course, still pockets of communities and societies where people just don't see us, the women we truly are, and you know, the women who are capable of making changes, or the women who are capable of, you know, feeling things beyond just the physical flesh, you know. So that was very empowering. So with the social justice program, what are other cool projects you guys have in the pockets?
I think one of the things we have to get better at as a council and as a community is actually understanding how everyday decisions that are made impact on the lives of people who are trans or non-binary, and that it's necessary for staff right across our organisation to be mindful of that. So recently we were looking at plans for a new sports stadium, and looking at these plans and actually saying, well, you've got the women's toilets and the men's toilets. Are there sufficient unisex toilets or toilets for people who identify as non-binary? And we need that kind of thinking to be in the minds of people who are town planners, who are project managers on these big projects. And so I think that where we can make a true difference is not just in running programs for trans or non-binary people, but in making sure that every staff member in the organisation knows that it's their responsibility to ensure that all of the programs they run are inclusive and accessible to everybody. And that's when, you know you're really getting somewhere. You're not kind of doing something on the side for a group, but actually incorporating inclusion into the everyday design of buildings and programs and everything else you do.
I absolutely agree with you, because as Australia has grown to be more diverse, culturally rich, you know, everybody eventually is a part of different intersectionalities, and I feel like, you know, every single decision we make will affect one another. So kudos for the Herman Council. Now, speaking of the bathroom issues, I know it's been such an ongoing topic for a while, but so there are two sides. So people suggest that there should be gender-neutral bathroom and also women bathroom. Is that the direction the new sports stadium will head to?
Look, I think it probably is. I would always say I feel that people should use the bathroom they feel comfortable using, and I don't really mind, you know, never been fussed about which bathroom that is.
Yeah.
But, you know, I recognise that as a community we've still got a journey to go. I think if you look at really good design, really good design would in some cases actually avoid the concept of a bathroom and just have places people would go into straight off the street or the, you know, the main parts of buildings, so that you avoid the whole question, and so that every bathroom is accessible to every person.
Right.
In sports stadiums where you've got change rooms and everything, this is something that I don't think as a community we've quite got our head around how to manage entirely.
Right.
And, you know, that's a learning journey that we're on, and probably something we need to get more feedback from people about what they'd like to see. And so that's the type of feedback that people could give us by contacting us on the email address I gave earlier, or ringing us on the phone to actually let us know. But also it's why it's so important that people get involved in consultation processes with council, because with most of the sort of big building projects that we would do, for example, we would always make some plans available to the community for feedback and for people to say what they think. And there's such an extraordinary opportunity then for people to influence design outcomes. And I, you know, there's so many ways in which we can be involved, and our time is precious, so it's hard to be involved in everything. But and we, I think, as a council need to get better at making sure we are going out and asking people, asking the right people, not just waiting for people to come to us for that feedback and involvement as well.
Right. Now, and the email is mailbox@darebin.vic.gov.au. As a member of the community, I do have some, you know, ideas to suggest on there now. So I live in Primbank Council, and every year they try to push the whole aspect of multiculturalism and diversity, not yet LGBTIQ focused, but I think they are going that way. And one of the cool projects they have is that they get kids involved with their own cultural background. So they hosted, the African nights, and they have, the Lantern Festival, and they have, you know, the Chinese New Year Festival. And they have, like, the food festival as well. So perhaps that's something Darebin Council can sort of, you know, follow the footstep with, you know?
Yes, and look, we have those kind of festivals as well. We have an amazing festival called the Kite Festival. That's a really beautiful one where people can come and fly kites together, but also join in a whole lot of other community activities. And it celebrates, you know, the joy of kite flying, but also cultural traditions that go back centuries. And, you know, we have homemade food and wine festivals. And I think there's so much that local councils do that whatever council people live in, it's actually really worth finding out what your council has on offer. Whether it's things that are open all the time, like your libraries, or whether it's those special events. You know, we have a lot of cultural and arts programming in our arts centres, and one of the things I love about our arts centres is that we particularly give priority to voices that might not otherwise be heard in the arts. And so, you know, whether that's people from First Nations communities or from queer communities, you know, we curate arts shows that enable marginalised voices to be elevated and to have access to these great facilities.
Well, that all sounds amazing, and I certainly believe that Darebin Council is also eco-friendly and very sustainable with your festivals and all that too.
Yes. Yeah, we have a community that cares very deeply about the environment, and I'm really proud that in 2016, when the new council was elected following the local government elections, we became the first council in the world to declare a state of climate emergency.
Yeah.
And then we went on to develop a climate emergency plan. And one of the things we know is that, you know, communities with less access to resources and communities that face discrimination are often going to be the hardest hit by the climate emergency, and it's so important that we do more, both to try and influence better state and federal government decisions, but also to mitigate the impacts and ensure that everybody has, you know, opportunities to live well in their community. So one of the big programs we run is called Solar Savers, which enables people who live in the community to get solar panels on their roof at no upfront cost. And the cost of those solar panels is paid back over a decade through an increase in the rates. So you sort of only pay as you save on electricity bills. And I think that's we've prioritised that program towards people on lower incomes. And I think it's an amazing example of how, you know, the sort of social justice dimensions of our work intersect with our desire to see better environmental outcomes as well.
Wow. Sounds amazing. I really have to bring these ideas to you, your Primbank Council myself. Thank you so much, Susan. Thank you for your time. You're listening to Trans POV on Joy 94.9. So please check out Reservoir Leisure Centre website or the Darebin Council website for details of the swimming and fitness activity program. Is that right?
Yes, please do. Absolutely. Reservoir Leisure Centre, and there'll be yoga classes and a ResFit class and cardio equipment, pools, spa, everything. And we'd love to see lots of people there.
All right. Thank you again, Susan. Thank you for your work and thank you for your time. And
it's been a pleasure, Anastasia.
Thank you. I look forward to have you back on the show talking about other projects coming up. Thank you.
Anytime. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
And that's it for tonight's show.
Yeah, as always, you know, if you do want to reach out to us during the week, you can. We're always looking for new ideas and new stories that anyone might actually want to share with us. It's always about a bit of positivity. You can reach us at transpov at joy.org.au. You can get us also on Instagram, transpov. You can get us on Facebook.
We have Instagram now.
We do. I'm working on it. I mean, you know, it's a work in progress.
I never knew.
Honey, I got to look. And the thing is, I probably need to find somebody who can actually do the social media. I think we got a new producer coming on.
Yeah.
And so they'll probably help us with a bit of that because, you know, between doing drive show, the advocacy work, doing this show as well, it's a bit hard to get all in there to show all of our pretty faces. So, but you can also follow along with us as well on stuff. You know, like mine's Mish Shepherd, and yours is
Rainbow in the Ashes.
Yeah,
on Instagram, really.
Yeah,
and you can also check out the notes section on Transpov Kitchen on Facebook page. That is where I include all these recipe writing,
which is quite amazing. So we do appreciate you following along and staying in touch with us. But again, you do want to reach out, feel free at any time. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.